Hey guys, it's Ollie from Unboring Economics, and welcome back. I know I've been gone for a while, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm going to start with a bang, and we're going to talk about the music industry, and how it's surviving and almost thriving in 2019, and more importantly, how record labels have begun to survive and been able to survive and thrive themselves in the past in the 2000s and in this millennium. See, Universal Music Group hit record highs of 6.4 billion sales in 2018. And this is peculiar because when was the last time you bought a CD? See, in 2000, 900 million CDs and records were sold. And these made up 90% of records labels' profits. But in 2018, only 90 million CDs were sold. This would make you think that record labels are doing terribly and almost extinct, but this is not the case, and almost the opposite, as I just stated. Now, the initial reason why you'd think this would be the case would be the rise of the new media, as the Entertainment Retailers Association found that the UK music revenue grew by 9.6% last year, and this was due to the rise of streaming services such as Spotify, Apple Music and Deezer. According to that same body, Britons now spend £577 million on streaming subscriptions in 2017, and this is 41% up from the year before. So this would be a logical reason for why the music labels have been able to survive. However, there's a caveat to this point, as streaming makes mere pennies compared to the masses of money you would make from CDs and record labels. So Taylor Swift makes $400,000 a year on Spotify, which is a hell of a lot. But for one of the biggest artists on the planet, this is mere pennies compared to the masses of millions that were made from Michael Jackson's Thriller, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, and Elton John. See, record labels' survival wasn't based on their artists' success and the rise of Spotify, Apple Music, and Deezer. No, it's been a decade and a half of overhauling the market structure and the business tactics. This massive change in structure came with the initial rise of the digital age. And this initial rise was scary with the creation of Napster in 2000. Napster was a free music downloader, which massively slashed demand for music, which in turn massively slashed the profits and the revenue by music labels and their artists. As a result, the business needed to react, and they needed to reduce their supply initially just to cover the costs of their massive loss in demand. Firstly, they had to do this by reducing two key factors of production. For example, UMG, the company I spoke about earlier, fired 4,000 members of their staff, selling all three of their record-making factories. By reducing their supply, they gained a lot of extra capital income, and they used this to invest. They used this money to invest, and the bigger labels began buying whatever companies they could and investing across the globe. This is illustrated by the global market share of music companies from 2000 to 2018. See, in 2000, there were five music labels which controlled over 80% of the market share, which were UMG, Warner, Sony, EMI and BMG. Whereas in 2018, we find the market share has severely become more dominant by three major labels, UMG, Warner and Sony, with EMI and BMG both being bought by other labels, with UMG in particular buying EMI. As a result, even with the shift to an oligopoly, even though Spotify only gives £7,000 per 1 million views, with a great deal of artists and 25% of global music catalogue, these new super labels can still bring in immense revenue, can still bring in an immense revenue. Maybe not to the same factor as back in 2000, but with the reduction in production costs of making records, as it's all digital, they've been able to increase their profit to 2017. Now we've spoken about how these labels have made money now with the new rise of the streaming that we've recently seen, but the way that they survived through the time period did not seem as stable and as successful as it sounds right now. See, in the mid-2000s, there was a great risk to this new digital age of music and the integrity and the income of both artists and labels. This was obviously piracy. Piracy is the act of illegally consuming a product for free, and this avenue massively reduced the demand and in turn revenue produced by both record labels and streaming services in the mid-2000s. As simply, people, why would you buy a CD if you can download it for free off the internet in your own home? And it seemed like the death of both labels and artists was surely on the horizon. But on the 9th of January 2001, the immediate death of music and the music industry was quickly saved. And this was by a man called Steve Jobs. You've all heard of him, the founder of Apple. He legitimized the digital buying of music for the first time, creating iTunes, a way to buy music digitally at a cost for per track or per album, very similar to what was previously found in a physical form, just digitally. This also, he provided a mainstream way of downloading this music, which was quick and easier than the slow downloading of piracy in the past. This was through the introduction of the iPod. This massively reduced piracy in the time period, and along with the reduction in the increase in artists that was made in this time period before the Spotify, before the rise of streaming, and the reduction in the factors of production, they were able to survive and be stabilized as businesses during the 2000s and up to streaming. This was so crucial that the head of Interscope Records, Jimmy Iovine, the record company that made Lady Gaga and Dr. Dre, stated on his Netflix documentary, The Defiant Ones, that Steve Jobs saved the music industry and he was their saving grace, as he believed himself that record labels were dead. Now, so that is how music record labels have been able to survive since the making of the digital age. Reduction in factors of production, the reduction in piracy, the adaptation of the business competition, and now the growth of music by themselves through streaming. Now you may ask, this is all good for up to now, but why are music artists still staying with labels? See, labels still offer plenty of advantages to the artists they sign. They give them cash advantages for recording, ample resources for marketing and promotion, including press outreach, like TV programs and billboards, and the labels' various and deep-rooted relationships across the music industry still carry a great deal of value to many artists who sign contracts with the labels. This means there's almost been a shift in how labels operate. They've gone from being such a crucial physical producer to almost an agent for artists, a way for them to grow amongst the masses of new artists and the concentration in the market. However, this idea of the record labels being your sole way to grow is starting to change. As Spotify have recently added a feature in which artists can bypass labels. This was perfectly shown through Chance the Rapper, the first artist without a record label to win a Grammy in 2017. Furthermore, up-and-coming artists are way more able to diversify their income as there's plenty more avenues such as Instagram and SoundCloud. On top of that, SoundCloud is crucial, as the way in which artists grow is shifting from being discovered by label through their mere natural growth through social media. We've heard of artists such as SoundCloud rappers, in which they grow through SoundCloud, they grow through Instagram, they grow through other forms of social media, providing income through that, and then push their music out themselves with their own natural, strong platform without needing record labels. This is why we've actually seen, on top of an increase in record, on top of the decrease in the number of record labels, we've actually seen an increase in the number of independent artists since 2000 to 2018. Overall, this gives us some great questions for the year ahead, for the up and coming years ahead. Will like we thought in 2000, see an end to record labels and see artists be independent in themselves? With these new independent streams of media to make money from, or will we see record labels adapt just as they have in the 2000s and innovate to incorporate this new digital wave of streaming and artist independence, and will they cooperate more with their artists and not dictate them as much? These are all questions we have, and it gives us a great talking point for the future ahead. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope I've given you a insight into how the music industry works and how it has survived over this new digital waves, and how a record label, the mid term, is something so outdated as record labels aren't even used in these days, still survives and is still such a key part in artists in this time period, in this day and age. Sorry, I should say. My name is Ollie, and this has been Unboring Economics. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.